Welcome to the Citizen-Centric Podcast, transforming our cities with technology and sharing.
I'm Ken Dooley, and this is the first episode of the Citizen-Centric Podcast. The plan for the coming episodes is to speak to some interesting people and explore the central tenet of this podcast, which is if we solve the everyday problems of our citizens first, and we do this with intuitive and easy-to-use tools, then all of the data to make the city more efficient and sustainable will be available by default. I suppose another way to say this is to look at concepts such as sharing, the platform economy, smart city, the future of work, circular economy, and the global greater focus on health and well-being, and to see how this can combine and improve the quality of life in our cities. There are a lot of elements in there, so I think the best way to start the ball rolling is to play some audio from my recent interview with Arni Heiskanen on the AEC podcast. Arni started by asking me about sustainability and where I think it is in 2019.
When I think about you, I often think about innovation, technology, and sustainability. And sustainability is something that could be like an all-encompassing idea, or it can be just a number like CO2 emissions. But what is sustainability to you?
Yeah, really good question. So I ran our sustainability side for 6 or 7 years, maybe finished that maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And then just last year, I finished a PhD in Aalto University, where I was really looking at kind of innovation, kind of business models, kind of strategic management, with a focus on environmental sustainability. And I think it's actually still a really loose and difficult topic to kind of pin down. I think my current work, really looking at a city perspective, I think it's kind of somehow finding the balance between all the new kind of focus with regards to health and well-being, and trying to find this perfect win-win solution between people having better services, having healthier lives, and somehow combining that with a kind of more sustainable city or more sustainable society. I think the example we use quite a lot is something like mobility as a service. If you can convince people to give up their own private car and not have these kind of single car journeys, Helsinki has a lot of mobility as a service happenings at the moment, things happening, then potentially they save time, they're a bit more healthy because they're walking to and from the bus, sometimes they're using cycling. They have more kind of choice of the solutions they're using, and maybe they save some money by not having to have their own car. And if we can deliver those kind of end user, those citizen benefits, then the city gets less congested streets and the city gets less emissions. I really think sustainability has been a difficult sell over the last, I've been working in it maybe 10 years. And I think we need to find these solutions that have this win-win on both sides. I think that's been kind of difficult to do, but I think we're getting kind of better. I think things like sharing economy are allowing us to kind of think that way and deliver those solutions. So I think we need to find that win-win, and I think those opportunities are there. Sharing as well maybe allows us to kind of have more circular economy products. So, the famous example is a washing machine that you buy and 2 or 3 years later the motor breaks. And I've done this myself. I've called a mechanic out to get it fixed, and the mechanic says, okay, your clothes washing machine motor is broken, but it's cheaper to buy a new washing machine. So now there are these kind of circular products where you rent a washing machine and pay per wash. One of the companies is Bundles in the Netherlands. It's cheaper to use, it's a modular product, it'll never break. And that's an example of helping people to kind of be sustainable by having some kind of combination between a really good service that people can use, and then essentially it's supporting circular economy business models. So I think we're slowly moving in that direction, as opposed to the old fashioned, you must turn off the lights when you leave a room, or, this kind of, you must do something that maybe kind of limits performance, or that you have to give something away to get. I think there's definitely those things that are needed as well. But right now, I think we need to find this win-win to kind of gain momentum.
But another thing that I know that you've been involved in and Granwood especially is good at is digitalization of processes and digital technologies. And this has been happening in the industry for, let's say, 3 to 5 years, we have seen increasing interest in investing in technologies and so on. But how do you see that as providers of services and as us as users of the built environment? Where is it taking us?
Yeah, this has been kind of an interesting space for the last, I don't know, plus 5 years, I'd say. You know, when Smart City first arrived, it was really delivered by IBM and Cisco and some of these kind of big companies saying, you know, we have technology, let's kind of make cities better. And then maybe generation two of Smart City was really this idea of those companies, those big technology companies combining with cities, and those kind of combination of two entities trying to make cities a better place, whatever that means. And I think for the last maybe 2 years, there's maybe slightly longer, there's been this feeling of that it's kind of a citizen-centric or a citizen-driven development in cities. And I think from our work here, even just looking at kind of energy planning or even building planning or kind of transportation planning, we used to see these buildings as these kind of islands that we took care of ourselves. You built a building and you kind of put all the car parking on your plot. It didn't really matter if there was public transport nearby or what the kind of local services were nearby. We saw buildings as these kind of siloed islands. But now there's a much kind of bigger focus, and we have been trying to move from a building level to kind of a city level in every way, either with regards to local infrastructure and all of those things, with regards to kind of promoting public transport and building spaces in the right place with regards to kind of user experience or with regards to kind of environmental impact. So I think we are getting better at kind of moving our kind of designs or our developments into being connected into a kind of a city focus. And I think that's something that I'm really interested in as well, and really looking at this user-centric, this citizen kind of experience point of view, and how that allows a better citizen experience, a better kind of value for the built environment, but also kind of makes the actual city infrastructure, let's say, more efficient and, let's say, more sustainable.
Yeah, you talk about the citizen-centric approach, which is, I think, also is the future of this development. So, but that leads us to your idea to start a podcast. We actually met a couple of weeks ago and you were talking about this idea, and I gave you some tips and about the technical point of view, and I think it's a wonderful idea and I encourage you to do it. But what is it going to be like, your podcast, and what are we going to hear in the future?
Yeah. So I think some of the things I've mentioned is really the direction I want to kind of move the discussion in. So the podcast will be called, actually, Citizen Centric is the name of the podcast. It's the citizencentricpodcast.com. And the real focus is, like I mentioned a moment ago with mobility as a service, that if we solve everyday problems of people, and we do is with kind of really intuitive, easy to use tools, then we can kind of create this win-win of user benefit, simpler, easier, better lives for the user, so improve quality of life, and also have some operational efficiency and environmental impact reduction from a city perspective. Chris Boardman actually is the cycling czar in Manchester, where they have some problems and they're really focusing on cycling. And his idea, or his kind of focus and kind of point of view, is that they have this kind of problem of congestion in the city. There's a lot of traffic. There's kind of climate change targets that they want to meet. And they have a kind of obesity problem or a health problem in the city. So congestion, environmental impact, and let's say making the citizens more healthy, he kind of sees it as, okay, we need to promote walking and cycling in whatever way we can. So that's another kind of perspective of again, this kind of win-win, that we make people's journeys quicker, we make them healthier or help them to be healthier. And then as a benefit, the city is less clogged and the air quality is better and the environmental impact is less. And I think this has kind of jumped a lot with, you know, things like being able to call a taxi or an Uber by pressing one button, and the payment for the taxi is all taken care of because you've booked it on your phone. I think we talk a lot about the kind of city bikes, for example, that Helsinki has, and the kind of apps and the user interface that's super easy to use has made them much more viable. So if I'm in a hurry in the city and I don't want to walk the 10 blocks or the 2 kilometers I want to go to, then the idea is, okay, I'll get a city bike. But in the past, you would kind of walk 2 or 3 blocks to a city bike station. There's no city bikes there. You would get kind of upset and angry. You would say, I'm never using these silly things ever again. And you, because you were already late for the place you were going, and then you had to move on. But now we have the idea where just something as simple as opening an app on your phone and seeing the nearby bike stations close to you and seeing, okay, there is a number of bikes there. I can get a bike and I'll be fine. They kind of have this tipping point effect of making these solutions really easy to use. So all of the kind of mobility elements of seeing public transport in real time, having on our phone a kind of journey planner that allows kind of taking the bus in a new area much simpler, all of those kind of digital tools are creating this kind of tipping point, or this much easier to kind of use some of these things. So we see mobility as a service as being a real focus. It has this idea of giving you lots of choice, of potentially saving you time because you can use the one that suits you most, hopefully saving you money and hopefully making you healthier. We see things like Airbnb or WeWork or co-working as being space as a service. So allowing me to not have a desk in an office that's fixed and kind of wasting energy or wasting space. And I can kind of use a space in a co-working building wherever I am that day. And we're starting to see things like items as a service as well. I know Reima, the Finnish brand, have just launched kind of kids' clothing as a service, where your kids grow out of their winter clothes, or it's because of the cold temperatures in Finland, they have to wear kind of really expensive and kind of warm overalls, but they grow out of them every 6 months, let's say. So Reima will give you a kind of package where over the first 5 years of your kid's life or whatever it is, as they grow, you take the clothes back and you kind of get more overalls. And the Helsinki City has really been promoting this in the Varamo website as well, where you can book 3D printers or these kind of equipment that's in the city libraries. So we're starting to see that as being something that's growing all the time. And I'm hoping that it delivers this win-win of improving the quality of life of the users or the citizens, but making the system, in this case the city or the city infrastructure, kind of more sustainable and efficient.
Yeah, I remember that you mentioned that at the personal level you also have been looking for these opportunities, like you mentioned skates, I think.
yeah, I have 3 kids kind of all below 8, and you buy a pair of ice skates and they're used 4 times in a winter, and then next winter comes and they're too small, and maybe you're going to hand them down to the next kid, but you've bought one kid pink ice skates, and because you weren't thinking about it on the day you bought them, and the little boy needs convincing to wear pink ice skates. So I'm really looking forward to having item libraries and having things like winter DIY tools is a big one, having kind of winter sports equipment, or having kind of alternative sports equipment such as let's say cargo bikes are something that many people in cities have said the one thing holding them back from not having a car is doing the weekly shopping. So either they can get it delivered or they can go and rent a cargo bike at their nearest big supermarket and drive their groceries home and then drop the cargo bike back again. So this is something that's definitely growing. We see there's been some interesting things already in Helsinki on DIY tools. So hopefully there's more of these services coming, and I'm definitely one of the first customers to jump on board.
And you are going to talk about those things on your podcast as well. So do you already have some guests lined up?
Yeah, the next guest actually is the head of development at the for kind of smart cities in the United Nations. It's United Smart Cities is the name of the kind of organization. They're the kind of main, let's say, partner for the UN, and we have Tom on in the next episode talking about some of these things.
So I think that many of our listeners are now keen on tuning in. So how can they find the podcast?
Yeah, so it's the website is citizencentricpodcast.com, and it'll be on all the normal places you find your podcast, and the title is Citizen Centric. Okay. And on Twitter, it's at @city_sen as the handle as well. So maybe over time, Citizen Centric will evolve to City Sen, where the last three letters are C-E-N. I don't know. that's the shorthand I've been using in my head for the last while.
Very good. So, but otherwise, you can be found on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And it's Ken Dooley on LinkedIn, and my Twitter is at Ken Dooley as well for various work things that are happening around built environment and sustainability and innovation.
Okay. I hope they give you a feeling of where I want to take the discussion over the coming episodes. I'm also very happy to say that in episode 2, we'll have Tom Houston, who's the head of development for United Smart Cities. And they're the official smart city program of the United Nations. Speak to you then.
Thank you for listening to the Citizen Centric Podcast, transforming our cities with technology and sharing.